Fame Incorporated, I'd like to introduce Packers Hall of Fame President Mike Gage. Mike?
Morning, Coach.
Good morning, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Again, congratulations.
Oh, thank you very, very much. It's very exciting and quite an honor.
Juan, you know the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame is very, very pleased to be inducting you this coming July 21st. It's going to be a great induction banquet and ceremony. I think that your selection of Ron Wolf as your presenter is absolutely terrific.
When I asked him, he said, "Now don't expect me to blow a lot of smoke your way." And I said, "I totally understand, and just keep it short, you know."
I'm sure he's got some good stories to tell.
Yeah, he does.
Well, Coach, do you want to maybe start off with some thoughts, and then we'll open it up to questions?
Well, sure. I appreciate it, Aaron, and hello to everyone there. This is first of all, is quite an honor. You know, I think that goes without saying. And when you're when you first have an opportunity to either play or coach or work for the Packers, it's really something. And I've always said this, from an outsider looking in, they look at the Green Bay Packers as something special. When you actually work there, you realize it's even more than that. And so our time there, my family, Kathy and the girls, and was a very special part of our lives. And now to join some of the famous great people that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame, it's quite an honor, and I'm humbled by it.
All right, we can open it up for questions.
Hey, Mike, Mark Daniels in Green Bay. How you doing?
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Congrats.
Thank you.
You know, how long did it take you to realize when you got the job that the working relationship you and Ron had was going to develop as strong and as successfully as it did?
Well, I think when you're new like I was, and during the interview process, you know, we hit it off very, very well. So immediately I was very comfortable, and he made me very comfortable. But that's just the beginning. And then as we worked together and continued to build the team up and so on, you know, I realized how lucky I was. And I can honestly say that in the time we were together, we never had a harsh word. We never had a real argument. We discussed a lot of things, but I think we were respectful of one another. He was at his very best with me. He was at his very best with me after we lost a tough game. And that's hard to do. I'm learning that myself right now in my current position. You know, you go in there, you feel bad, but it's your job to help the coach and support him as best you can. And Ron was really great with me. So early on, I thought it was going to work, and then as every day, you know, it just got better and better.
Mike, this is Mike Vandermoss from the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Have a bit of a hypothetical question. Had you known back in January of 99 that Ron was going to retire 2 years later, might you have considered staying in Green Bay and maybe taking on both jobs of head coach and general manager?
Well, I think, boy, Mike, you know what, Mike, you haven't changed a bit, you know? You know what, in all honesty, I think I've said that before, that if I just had an inkling that was going to happen, then perhaps, you know, that would have happened. But, you know, no one knew. I don't think Ron knew at the time. And, you know, the opportunity was presented to me to do both. And so I made the decision. I choose, and I think you have to in this business, you know. If you start looking back too much on the what-ifs, then you're really going to hurt where you are at that particular time. And so while it was a special, special time for me and the family, as I've mentioned. But, you know, I made my decision, and the Packers made theirs, and Ron made his, and all that kind of stuff, and you just move forward. And clearly, you know, the team is going great guns right now with my old buddy Ted Thompson. So I think things work out the way they're supposed to, Mike.
Mike, if I could just follow up, you've worked under both situations with the head coach and general manager being separate. and also being held by one person. Which way do you think works best?
Well, when I was a coach, I thought the coach could do it all. Now that I'm a front office guy, I think it has to be separated. Is that a good answer?
Very good.
No, I, you know what? I think it's historically, it's some people have done it, you know, and I always use the case of Jimmy Johnson, really. Who had both jobs, really, and then it was very successful doing both. But you have to have the right chemistry, the right makeup, I think, for that to happen. When I was in Seattle, as an example, when I had both responsibilities, of course, I had Mike Reinfeld and Ted Thompson there as my right-hand guys, and I trusted them implicitly, and that would have worked had we all stayed together, I think, long enough. But it's a tough job for one person, but I think in the right situation it can be done.
I'm like Tyler Dunn with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. I guess, how important is your legacy in Green Bay to you, and what do you hope that is?
Well, I think it's I don't know. You know, I've always said this, and I really believe this. I was a high school history teacher who got lucky, you know, and then Ron Wolf decided to take a chance on a guy who hadn't been in the league very long. And to be a part of and be mentioned in the same breath, as I said earlier, with the greats of the Green Bay Packers, that's a special thing for anybody. And I think, you know, it's an honor, and I'm humbled by it, as I mentioned. And I would hope that people, as far as legacy goes, that when we came in there, we did a good job. We worked hard at it. We set the tone for the future, perhaps, and got people feeling really good about the football team again.
Hey, Coach. Bill Huber from Packer Report. How you doing?
Hey, Bill.
I guess, did you allow yourself to think about the Packers Hall of Fame either when you're here in Green Bay or in Seattle or Cleveland? I guess, did that ever cross your mind that you might be good enough at some point to get inducted?
I don't think so. I think coaches, general manager, whatever, you work as hard as you can, and then you don't really think about it much until you get the phone call. And then when you get the phone call, then you start thinking about it, and you said, wow, you know, this is pretty neat. But I think if you go in, anybody, coaches, anybody, go in with the idea, this is my goal, then you really kind of shortchanging that particular team on that particular week in that particular season. You have to just take each day, and then if you work hard enough and good things happen, it might not be the Hall. There are a lot of great coaches and players and that haven't gone into Hall of Fames, but they enjoyed what they did. They made a contribution, and that in itself is what we got in it for in the first place. And then if something happens like this, it's kind of the icing on the cake.
When did you find out, and what was your reaction?
I guess it was time-wise a couple months ago. Mike would know better than I would on that, and I just had a quiet moment, you know, and I said, wow, you know, and I phoned my wife and phoned my children, and like I usually do on situations like that, and just said, well, it looks like they're going to let me do this. And so I tried to low-key it as best I could, but inside I was very excited.
Mike Lance Allen from WTMJ in Milwaukee. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
When you look back on it, when you took the job 20 years ago, a lot of people said you can't win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. Is that something you take a lot of pride in?
Well, I think... certainly when you get to the Super Bowl and then win the Super Bowl, everybody can feel good about it. And I remember distinctly a moment right after we won the game in New Orleans. I was in my coaching office there at the Superdome, and I asked everybody to leave. And it was kind of an odd request because everyone was very happy, and they left me alone for a while. And I just thought at that particular moment, I was kind of quiet, and I had my own private thoughts, and I just thought of all the folks in the organization, not players and coaches, because we're in the front lines, but all the people in the organization that had been there for a long time, and were able to share in the victory, you know, the Super Bowl victory. And I think that in itself is something very special. You know, it's a special organization, has been for a long time. And like I said, to get people feeling very, very good about their football team again and sharing in that victory was special to me.
Like Mark Daniels again, I mean, you were butting heads with the Cowboys. Did you ever think you'd get over them? I mean, was there a point where you got, geez Louise, this is a little much, 3 years in a row down there?
Yeah, I know. It was tough. They were very good, Mark, if you remember. I can remember talking to the team, though, in the last time. I don't know if that was the game where Gil got hurt or not, Gil Haskell, and it was a very emotional time for me, and I had trouble speaking. I said, one of these days we're going to be able to do this, and you just got to believe it. And I think the big thing was again, if we could finally get a playoff game up in Green Bay, I thought we had a tremendous advantage, and that's what ultimately happened. But, you know, there are teams, you look back in NFL history, the Cowboys were already there, and they should receive a lot of credit. And we were coming. You know, we were on the come, and the timing was we played those guys all the time, and it was tough. They matched up very, very well against us, and they had a fine team. And you look back in history, when I was with the 49ers, I felt the same way about the New Orleans Saints under Jim Moore. You know, they were very, very, very good. But we were just a little bit more advanced than they were at that particular time. And then they couldn't get over that hump, you know. So that's kind of how I felt. But eventually I thought we could do it.
Coach, this is Rich Percy with PackersHallOfFame.com. And looking at the records preparing for today, I see that you had 9 assistant coaches worked under you that have become head coaches in the NFL. How much pride do you take in that?
Well, I feel very good about that. I think all along I've looked at myself as a teacher. You know, I coach football, but, you know, I was a history teacher and so on, as you guys know. And when we formed that first staff, in fact, I have the picture of that first staff in my office. I'm looking at it right now, as a matter of fact. And they, I had to teach the offense to guys like Andy Reid and Steve Mariucci and John Gruden and those guys. And they went on to be very, very, very outstanding coaches. And I feel good about that. And anytime I played against them, even though it was kind of like a pickup game with your brother in the backyard where you're just going at it tooth and nail, I'd look across the field before the game started and say, you know, that young guy did a great job for us. And now he's got his own thing going. And I felt good about that.
Jay Sorensen here with WTMJ Radio and Ohio's Radio Network. Congrats, Coach, first of all.
Thank you.
Talk about the climb from getting the job and the climb that you finally took in making this team a winner and trying to instill a winning attitude. You talked about teaching. How did you teach a winning attitude, and how was that part of the puzzle of finally building a champion?
Well, I think it's a huge thing when you're taking over in a position where the team's been down a little bit. And unfortunately, you know, the terms are used rather casually now, I think, about changing the culture. You've all written that probably, or talked about it, or said it. And what does that mean, changing the culture? And I think a couple things. I think, one, you have to have a system that you can teach and the players can buy into, that they have to know that what you're telling them makes some sense. Otherwise, you have no chance. That's the first thing. The second thing is you have to have a couple of little early successes so that they can see, and everybody can see, the building for that matter, hey, this is different. Look at this. You know, we can do this. And just, it came gradually in Green Bay, but we did have some early successes. And then people just start looking at things differently. They start believing. The third thing I did is I always tried to, as I said, walk the building, you know, and talk to the grounds people and talk to the trainers and coaches and secretaries and whoever was in the building, just to kind of let them know I was around and thinking about them and get a word of encouragement here or there to get people thinking like we could really do that. And it was different than it had been. And had to do the same thing in Seattle. We're attempting to do that here now in Cleveland. And it's a process, but I think that's how you have to do it.
And Coach, I'm not sure if you perceive this as well. I hope you already have, but we at the PMJ are actually mourning the loss of a guy that you talk to on a regular basis, Jim Irwin, who passed on Sunday. Any thoughts about Jim and your relationship with him?
Well, you know what, I was told that, and you know, my prayers go out to Jim's family and everybody. Jim was a special guy, and when I came in there, you know, Jim had already established himself, and he was an all-star, you know, long before I got there. But what I always appreciated about him with me is that, you know, he made me feel like an all-star, and he had that ability. And, you know, we had a very close relationship, and I think he was a marvelous, you know, it goes without saying his talent as an announcer and all those things, but we became relatively close when I was there, and I always appreciated him and what he stood for and how he projected and presented the Packers to everyone else.
Hey, Mike, how long were you going to stick with Don Majkowski that first year if he hadn't got hurt?
Excuse me. Let me get some water. That's an interesting question, and it. I think, you know, if you remember going back there, I thought about that first season a fair amount during my career, actually, particularly when I'm trying to mentor young coaches. And we lost our opener, a tough game against Minnesota, who I thought was a very good team, and we lost in a really close game. Then we went down to Tampa, and we got our clocks cleaned, you know. And Don, I remember, had a struggle in the first half, so I started Favre in the second half. Everyone was very upset. The players were very upset, obviously. But then Don started the third game, and I had called those guys in and said, okay, we're doing this, but you got to play better. And I started Don the third game, then he got hurt. And then Favre came in, and then that was the end of that. So, but I think as long as if Don had come in and continued to produce like he had produced in previous seasons, you know, Brett probably would have watched for a while longer. You know, I was going to play whoever was playing better. Now, having said that, you don't draft a quarterback in the first round necessarily to have him sit for too long, you know. And so I think when teams do that, particularly when you traded a high pick like we did in the first round for Brett, you know, what you're making a statement to the fans and to the organization and everyone else that eventually this guy's going to be the guy, or hopefully he's the guy. And so, but Don, if Don had continued to play well, you know, he probably would have played longer, I'm sure.
Mike Vandermoss again. Mike, your last game as a coach, of course, was that bitter loss in San Francisco. It was the Jerry Rice fumble. You know, Ron has said that he feels that team could have went on to the Super Bowl. What was your feeling about that team? And how long did it take you to get over that non-fumble call?
Well, I was on the competition committee, Mike, and we eventually got that rule changed. That was kind of, now on a play like that, we could review that, and now we would have won the game. So, it's funny. And Kathy tells me this all the time. There are certain games that she finally says, you got to let this thing go. It's been, you know, 20 years or whatever. And the hard part is you can't let some of them go. I mean, it's just that was a tough game. And at the time, I thought our team was really peaking. You know how you watch how the Giants are playing now and how they had their moments during the season, but now they seem to be peaking at the right time. And you could look back historically on different Super Bowl teams that do that. And I thought we were kind of doing that. We'd gotten some guys back from injury, and we were playing better. And so I would agree with what Ron said. We would have had a chance, I think, a good chance to get there again. But, you know, it didn't happen, and you know, Owens makes a great play, and my old babysitter, Steve Young, made the great throw, and that was that.
Maybe time for one more question for Coach.
Mike, this is Tyler at the Journal Sentinel again. You know, what were some of those challenges and difficulties and kind of taming and tutoring Brett Favre?
Well, I think we knew, obviously, that we had a great talent, and that goes without saying. And I think Brett, if you asked him the same question, he came in and he, you know, you got young people. They're 21, 22 years old, and they're young. And so, you know, I always, whether it was Brett or anyone else I've ever coached at that position, I guess I've always kind of coached them hard is the way I put it. And the people thought at the time that, that Brett and I didn't get along, but actually we got along famously. It's just that I kind of recognized the fact that he was a stallion and a racehorse, and then I had to kind of hold the reins all the time, at least to make sure that we had some control on what was going on the field and so on. And to Brett's credit, I forget if it was the third season we were together. You know, we sat down and had a little bit of a talk, and you know, we'd had a decent season. We'd gone to the playoffs, but he'd thrown an X amount of interceptions and so on. And I said, listen, in your challenge next year, I want you to try and these types of gambling type plays, let's cut back on them because we're going to be better. He goes, Mike, that's just the way I play. You know, and he was being honest, you know, and our dialogues were, our conversations were pretty honest all the time. And he goes, that's just how I play. And I said, okay, but if you play that way, we're 9-17. That's what we are. Now we want to be better than that, and you want to be better than that. And so to his credit, he listened and he did that. And then the next season, I remember him distinctly coming up in the airplane after a big win at the end of the year, sitting down next to me on the airplane and say, you know what? I get it. I get it. And so for a teacher or a coach to have your star player eventually come up and say that to you, that's about as good as it gets, you know. So, and then, of course, he went on. Actually, he played a lot longer after that than when I coached him. But our time together was special.
If I could add one more question in. Coach, do you feel like you guys get your due, and do you feel like maybe that you guys, when you talk about the great teams of all time, that maybe you guys should be in that conversation?
Well, you know, you really have to let other people do that. I know that our team that won the Super Bowl, you know, that year we were ranked very high on offense, very high on defense. Desmond Howard was a great return guy. So we had the pieces put together, and the fact that we went through the playoffs and handled things and kind of played pretty well. Maybe it doesn't get the credit it deserves, but we had a pretty good team. And then, ironically enough, the next year, I thought we had a better season. I thought that when we lost the game to Denver, the Super Bowl in the second year, in 97, I actually thought that team had a little more potential than that. We got hurt at the end, particularly in the defensive line. But so I think our teams there, yeah, I thought they were pretty good.